He's my all in all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's so beautiful. He's so awesome. That's why we love him.
Amen.
He cares for us. He helped us. He protects us. He provides for us. He loving care and mercies endure forever. Every morning when I get up. How can not you love a God like that?
Amen.
And all we deserve was dead. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for coming back. And your front too. You have to bow back on your front. Amen. He is so awesome. And we feel his presence. Amen. So tonight, we are going to continue our subject, still the rapture, and call it the translation. We'll be translated from one kingdom to the kingdom of heavenly places. Amen. And that's what we are looking forward to. So tonight, I'm going to try to illustrate that using a picture, you know, with all the elements of the rapture. Now, a picture, you know, worth 1,000 words. So as soon as you see the picture, we can go home. We can pray. We don't. No, it's not going to be that easy. You're not going to get away that easy. Amen. So let us pray, because I had to read a few lengthy scriptures here. And then I'll let you sit down, and then we can read the scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, Father, for your love and your kindness. Father, we thank you because you are our strength. You are our health. You are our energy, Father. You are the one that refreshes us just like the rain, Father. Every morning, your mercies are fresh, Father. We thank you. Father, we like to just tonight came and gathered together, Father, so we can open our arms, raise our arms to you, open our mouth, Father, and tell you how much, Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. Well, you are worthy, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness in our life. You never fail us. Father, even when we make errors and mistakes, you're always there to pick us up. Father, and clean us up and bandage and take care of us and put it back on the road. Father, we ask you to just be with the rest of the service from the pulpit to the back door and speak to our hearts tonight. Because that's what we want, Father. We want to hear your voice. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. You can be seated. So, let me read first Ephesians chapter 1. I'm probably going to read the whole chapter. So, let's begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It's all by the will of God. Yeah, it's not because we wanted to. To the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you. Thank you for your faithfulness in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings. With all. There's nothing left out there. Everything you have need is in him tonight. All. Spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he had chosen us. He has chosen us. And we are so privileged and so honored to be chosen. And we says in him before the foundation of the world. We talked about that this morning. That we should be holy. That is his outcome. or this predestination, that he's a holy God. So we have to be holy because he's holy. So we're going to see there's going to be some honing to be done. Amen. He says before the foundation, he said, predestined us to adoption of children. Well, let me get, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And he's going to do that. Not us. He's going to do that. We just surrender to him. And he will have a bride, a virtuous wife with not sin, no wrinkles, you know, no spots, you know, holy. Amen. But he will do that. And I'm glad that he's the one doing it. Because there's no other one can do it. Having predestinated us, predestinated you, he has set your destiny. See? Us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his pleasure. And Brother Doe has talked about this not too long ago. I mean, I don't know what gave him pleasure looking at me, but I'm glad that he has pleasure in me. He might be seeing something that I'm not seeing, but I'm glad that he knows our hearts. To the praise of the glory and of his grace, where he had made us accepted in the beloved. That's where we are accepted, in Christ Jesus. Amen. To the praise of his glories, in whom we have redemption through his blood, with forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, where he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery that we talked this morning, the mystery of his will. He wanted to have a bride, and he will have a bride. And you are the bride. You are the portion of the bride. And that we saw that was in back of his mind before the foundation of the world. See? So he's been working on that mystery until this end, we know the mystery. But it was not known. It was hid in his mind all these years. Amen. Says, mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. He purposed to have a family. He purposed to have a bride. He himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, here we are, this is the fullness of time, this is the last dispensation, but he might gather together, see, in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which is on earth, even in him. Amen. Looking for the last one, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. We have an inheritance. Amen. And really, we don't deserve anything. I don't want anything. I just want to get out of here and be with my Lord forever, you know. But we have an inheritance. We're going to see this later. That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after they that ye believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, once we believe, he will seal you. He accepted that faith. And that was his faith anyway, but we believe, and we are sealed with the Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. See, it's a down payment. We have a down payment of our inheritance. See, I own something. See? And I have a down payment saying that I do. See, I got a title deed and I own, and I get a down payment to that title deed until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, in Jesus, and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mentions of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and in the knowledge of him. And that's what we need the most. The message said, brother, I said, what we need the most is revelation. Because the more we understand, the more we know, the more we can become. Amen. Because we cannot become something that we don't know. We're becoming. We have to have more revelation in the knowledge of Him. The more we know Him, the more you know yourself. Amen. When do that stop? When we are here. When we are completely, completely made to His image, the one that He had before the foundation of the world. Amen. Holy, acceptable to Him. And that was His purpose. And what it is the exceeding and greatness of His power to us, toward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So that is the power that is working in us. Like the Bible says, you know, that quickening power that raised God from Jesus from the dead is in us. He meant to raise us in that day, which He brought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. See? That power was in Him, and that power is in you tonight. To raise you from the dead. And He set Him in His own right hand in heavenly places. And then we are going to be raised up with the same power to sit in His throne with Him. Ain't that something? He went and secured our place. And our place is next to Him. Next to the bridegroom. Ain't you happy? I mean, what a beautiful story. It's not a story, but it's His story. For above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Amen. Which is to come. Amen. So, let me see if we can fit this in the screen. It's my picture. Okay. Now, before I read everything, I don't know how well you can see that. It's far, but it is a pyramid. Yeah, you got it right, so you can see. And this pyramid, I guess it's trying to make it bigger, but I never thought that it would come in sharing a page. I thought it was going to come in one page, but that's fine. But let me introduce you this pyramid. This is the way I want to illustrate you the elements of the rapture. Now, I like that because the element of the rapture, there are seven, plus the capstone. Perfectly. I like it. And if you can see, and I don't know if you can see if we are here, but every word that you see written, receive is the first one. Accept, predestine, testify. And the other one is, this is not moving. Come on, don't freeze on me now. Okay. That's what I had to bring paper because you never know what's going to happen. Come on, guy. Okay, here we go. Testify, unity, resurrection, elevate, and the capstone. Now, those seven words that you see there, you take the first letter and you follow the way up. It says rapture. Okay? I don't know if you can see that far. Can you? But it's a R, A, and then so on, T, U, and R and E, rapture. So we're going to use the word rapture to explain the rapture. What other word? Brother Eli, how you come up with this thing? I don't know. I just got too much time to think. I guess. I don't know. Thing comes to my mind and I don't know why. So I got this thing with words and, you know, acronyms and all this stuff. I don't know why. But this teaching is going to cover everything that you have heard from Brother Doug in the past 6 months. Yeah. You're going to hear the same thing he just preached. I'm just going to give you a summary of everything that I have heard. You say, why? Why can't you bring something new? But I don't have nothing new to bring. Sorry. See, I can bring you into remembrance what Andy preached and what Brother Doug preached. Now, Brother Branham says you cannot live higher than where your teaching is. I cannot bring nothing new above. I could, but I won't do it. If I could, I won't do it. Because I'm here to support my pastor. I'm not here to be above my pastor and trying to, you know, be better than he is by bringing something that he hasn't bring something new. And if God put something new in my heart, I will not bring it until he brings it. Why? Because I'm not here to be the pastor. I'm not the pastor. He's the pastor. And I'm here to support him, to help him. So I'm not looking to be the pastor. So you will never see me bringing anything that I'm, and you know, I am a part of this congregation, so I am a product of this ministry. Right. So what else do you want me to bring you? Right. Because everything that I have heard and I have learned, I heard from this ministry. And I cannot come above the ministry that God has put in this church. Some people got in trouble in this church and they are not here, so don't worry, be relaxed. You know, because they think they know more than the pastor. And Brother Brown said, you cannot live higher than you are taught. And that is your pastor, the higher one in the, he's the higher position that God has put in the church. And if you think you know more than him, then start your own church. Sorry, I didn't want to go there, but we went there. Yeah, we are. So, again, with this pyramid, I'm going to show you the elements of the resurrection. You know, you might see it clear, and if somebody asks you, you can use this to testify, because it's well organized in a way that even a child could see it. So, without further ado, let's begin. We read Ephesians 1 and 1 Corinthians 15 is at the bottom, but I'll let you do that. Read 1 Corinthians 15. That's your assignment. Okay? But the Brennan says 63:1-13, the sign of the time. Oh, I like the title, the sign of the time. Or this time. Not that time. This time. And now we have left the Pentecostal age. We're done. That was the one before. Now we are coming to where, like in the pyramid. Okay? Not a pyramid doctrine. And this is not a, I call it the pyramidology. It's not doctrines. I'm just trying to use the pyramid to illustrate. But I mean, like, as in the pyramid. The headstone, when it comes to feet, is good to be home. It got to be home. Not the headstone has to be home. The pyramid has to be home. Every stone that makes the pyramid has to be home. We are living a stone, and God is building himself, what? A church, building himself. So we got to be home. How do we be home? It says, there got to be a ministry. So there we go, those people that don't want no ministry. I ain't pointing no fingers. They asked Brother Branham, will the bride have a ministry at the end? Yes. So you better get your ministry. Now you don't have to get this ministry, but you better get a ministry that will hone you.
Right. Amen.
Because that is God's design.
Right.
And we cannot stay home or we'll tape and do that at home, but find a ministry, because that is the purpose of the ministry.
Right.
To cut.
Right.
Sometimes we don't like to be cut. We don't like to be home. But it will do you some good. The headstone, when it comes to feet, it has to feet. It got to be home. There's got to be a ministry in the church, the true church. We're not talking about the Pentecostal. We move on forward. This is the ministry. He says, it has to be in the church of the living God. To where, with the headstone, come Christ, or the ministry of Christ. The ministry of Christ, see? In Christ will fit right together perfectly. So you see the responsibility of the ministry? To say just what he said and no more to add and take? Because we are honing you. We are preparing you for this day. When the capstone comes, it has to fit perfectly. And it was when the Bible said that they was building. You know, they didn't use any instrument, any hammer. It was no noise. How do they fit all those stones together? No human, you know, machinery, no lasers, cutting, nothing. It was stone, next to stone, polishing those stones to make them fit. See? And sometimes you get too close to your brother and your boy start rubbing on you and you just, oh man, get away from me. What's wrong with you? Because God will use us.
Right,
you know, sometimes you bring your sister, you're about to rob, you know, that's, so you can feed, that's all. There are some things that God has to chop off and take out and polish, and sometimes you use your brother and sister, you know, don't feel offended. Feel glad.
Amen.
That you are being honed. And the word of God comes and it cuts and you get mad at the preacher. That's what I don't want this job. The job of a preacher is not easy. Because he started chopping and started cutting, and people started looking mean. And listen, that is the ministry today. And if we humble ourselves and surrender and let that word cut us,
right,
we will feed in that day.
Right.
It's got to be a ministry. And I am so glad that God put us on this ministry.
Amen.
I don't know about everybody else, but that's what I'm here because
Amen. It's
needed.
Right.
Christ, the ministry of Christ, and Christ will fit right in together perfectly. So it won't be no gap. It won't be no crooked, stone or one that is a little rise up. No, we are going to fit perfectly.
Amen.
Amen. Then bring back the redeemed to take the whole house of God to glory.
Amen.
See, once we get fit together, and we are polished, and we are perfectly and mature, as Paul says, that's what the ministry do. Bring you to perfection, to maturity, that is Jesus Christ, in order that we can be home, and that we can then feed. See? Now, you cannot feed yourself. Like when you buy a dress, you like to cut some pieces and you go to the seamstress and can you take a little bit here? Can you sew a little bit there? No. You don't try to get a dress and fit it onto you. This dress, you better fit on the dress. Because you cannot alter this dress. See, this dress is already made. And if you don't fit in that dress, do whatever, lose weight or grow older or whatever. But we fit to the word of God every day. We don't try to make excuses to do something else. This is the only program there is. And we must fit in that. The stone is like the dress, And you are being honed. So whatever God dislike, has to be cut. But it's for your own good. For our own good. Because it has to be a perfect bride for a perfect husband. Now, Brother Brown also said, in only provided place of worship, and the pyramid being the foundation up all the way to the king chamber, and just before you hit the seven wall, okay, there's a little introduction plank there where a messenger comes out to bring you to the king. And we already have our messenger that is message that is going to bring us to what? To the king, to the headstone. So that's what this message came to do, to prepare a bride ready to meet the bridegroom. Amen. It says, where a message comes out to bring you to the king. The messenger, John the Baptist, introduced to the king, but the headstone was rejected. And remember, to his own he came and they rejected him. It says, and they don't know the stone of scorn or whatever it is. They don't know. Where is it at now? See, because they reject the stone that is Jesus Christ. He was not only the cornerstone, but he's also the headstone.
Yeah,
amen. He said, but that stone, the cap, the whole thing that makes it the pyramid through the complete 7-8 churches add grace and these, there are 7 adds. The last one is Christ that comes down. So you know where we are. We are at the top now, right? And this to your charity, grace, and your grace has something else and something else till I get up to the Christ that is the headstone. I am the door. Amen. In this position of the 7-8 churches, he said, what a crucial time are these in we live. How many think it's a crucial time?
Amen.
So then we gotta better get ready or let the word of God get us ready, dress us.
Amen.
God is trying to dress us. That's what the ministry is, to dress us. But sometimes we are not still long enough to get dressed. What crucial time we are living. How careful we must be be that we remain true to this word and not take from it or add to it. For he who would speak where God has not spoken makes him a liar. Man, not add and don't take from the Bible. But now, according to the time we're in, we stand in the Laodicean age. The prophet messenger, Revelation 10:7, must already be in the land. He was in the land and he's gone. What's more, says the Lord, thou said the Lord, must be here, ready to be manifested with infallible vindications. Thus is the true seed already maturing. And then the harvest. He says, harvest time. Yes, it's harvest time. So we're running out of time. So we need to be ready. The two vines that grew together and intertwined, their branches are now to be separated. But the world will do the separation. God will do the separation. You don't have to worry about that part. We remember what Jesus told in that parable when the first seed was sown. The Son of God came, and then another one came behind, and they were surprised. You know, they said, Lord, I thought you put good seed. But now we had another seed when they started coming out, giving fruit, they saw. And he said, leave them alone. Let them grow together.
Right.
Because you might try to pull one, and you might pull the good ones too. So let them grow together. When the time comes,
right,
I will send my angels. Okay? When the harvest time, the two wines grew together, intertwined, their branches are now to be separated. This is separation time. The fruit of those vines which were at such variance will be gathered into separated garners. See? The two spirits will go to their separate destinations. But we got our destination already set. We know where we're going. They're not worrying. Now it is time to heed the final call that comes only to the wicked bride. That's it. She's the only one that is listening. She got ears to listen. And we have applied eyes up and we can understand. We can see. Come out of her, my people, that ye may not partake of her sins and that ye receive not her plagues. See? The Great Tribulation, the sixth seal in Matthew 24 is talking. So this is the last warning, see? This is the last warning of Revelation 3:22. He says, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches.
Amen.
See?
Yeah.
But my sheep will hear his voice.
Amen.
Amen. And we are here because we can hear.
Right.
Because God has opened our ears, spiritual ears, to understand. So with this said, let's go to the pyramid and let's cover every element of that pyramid. And let me see this thing went up. Okay. So the first one was to receive. Okay? Oh, nice. Thank you. Receive. Accept, predestine, testify, spell rapture. So 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, he that come preach another Jesus, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him.
Right.
Amen. So to receive his spirit, to receive him, Christ, the anointed one. See? He gave them power. Listen, this is not something that is your decision.
Right.
You know, some people say, well, yeah, I received them. Yeah, and I acknowledge that. And I should have power to become. No, the only reason you receive it is because you already are a son of God before the foundation. And because you are, you receive it. Not the other way around, that you receive it and now you become the son of God. No, you always were the son of God. So when the call came, when you heard your name, you opened and you received it. Now, accept, says, the second letter says, If he that come at 2 Corinthians 11:4, and he that come preach another Jesus, that's his spouse, whom he had not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which you had not received. So now it's a little bit more information. See, those that receive what? His spirit. The spirit of the letter. Actually, the letter is spirit and truth, right? We receive the spirit of the letter. But that's not enough to have the letter, because you have the letter by itself, the letter killeth. But we have received the gospel. We heard the gospel. And when we heard it, we received it. And the gospel is a spirit, because the word of God is a spirit and truth. That spirit is the one that gives life. See? So when we heard, you know, that gospel, that light came and shined over that seed, we responded right away because it was life. We received it. It says, receive another spirit. Now, if you get another spirit that is not the spirit of God, that will not raise you up. You just are dead as a doornail. I mean, even dead before, worse than you were to begin with, which you have not received. See? So, another gospel. See, that spirit comes from another gospel that Paul didn't preach. Because the word is spirit and truth, which ye have not accepted. See? So, receiving the spirit of the word and accepting the truth, that is the gospel. Because it's in truth, a spirit and truth. So you have to receive both. Now the Pentecostal, what happened to the Pentecostal? They light the spirit. They receive the spirit. They light the unction. They light the anointing. But not the truth. See? And some of the people like the truth, like the Baptists, but they don't like the spirit. Or they got their own concussion. You know, when you receive Christ and you shook hands with the minister, you receive them. No. You receive the truth. But with the spirit that is going to bring the truth to a reality in our life. So it has to be both. You have to receive the Spirit of God and the truth. But when you receive the truth, then you're sealed with the Spirit if you believe. Amen. We just read that. So Peter says, that's accept. And then in John 4:23 says, but the hour has come and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. You can have the truth, but if you don't have the spirit, what good it will do you? And you can have a spirit and anointing, but if you don't have the truth, what good it will do you? But the sons and daughters of God will receive the spirit and the truth. Yes. Amen. So that is as receiving and accepting. And not everybody will receive it. You know? But we are predestined to receive it. That is my next word, predestination. And predestination, we can talk about 1 Peter 1, second verse, first chapter. Second, it says, elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, see, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have been predestined. We have been called. We have been foreknown. We have been chosen. And we have been predestined. So this is not something that just happened. God has purposed this in his heart. And yes, Adam fell. But God said, I will restore. He gave a promise. Even before he fell, he already knew what he was going to do. The plan was already in place. See, I will put enmity between your seed and his seed. The one that corrupted the whole thing. See? So we are so glad that we are chosen, because we are one of him. Anyway, now Ephesians 1:4-5 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's where we were. See? That we should be holy. Again, the preaching, what is the Holy Ghost giving for? Brother Van says, to give unction to the preacher, first. So he can preach holiness, second. And to set the church in order. The gift, we set the church in order. Right. There's gifts that are here.
Right.
But the preaching of the world will bring holiness.
Yeah.
You know, to live the right life. Wow. You know, to cut all this thing that God displeases us. But see, it has to be preached from the pulpit, because that is the ministry. You know, You want to live a holy life. Holiness, holiness. That is what I want. Holiness. See? So we come to church and let the chief fall wherever they fall. But that's what I want. That's what we desire. But if we don't come to church, I don't know how that's going to happen. This is God's plan. This is not my plan. To open the church on Sundays, on Wednesday, and preach for an hour. I mean, yeah. You know when people get in trouble, when they start thinking. Well, I think it should be this way. But that is too long. But what we have two services on Sunday. Well, we can have that one that, over, you know, I'm not worried about the one that have, that's their thing.
Right.
I'm not judging and I'm not saying that they're right and I'm wrong. I'm just saying I am glad that I'm under this ministry. So if you are happy to be in the ministry, then support your ministry. Because your ministry is here for your own edification and to encourage you to come up higher. Amen. Show holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. Amen?
Amen.
Of his will. Brother Doug been preaching about all these things. From Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, we are already glorified.
Amen.
Amen. So, we receive, you know, we accept, and we are predestined. But that's of his good pleasure already in his mind. That was his plan from the beginning. See? Nothing out of cater. Amen. The next one is testify. Number four. Now testify, I put the word testify in order to fit the rapture word, but testify is to confess.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying this morning, I mean, you said that you believe this message and you said that you have the Holy Ghost. So your confession will be, your body should be, you know, lining up with the confession. So the next thing that we need is to testify, you know, of what we know. And what God has done in our life. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, see, that the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
So after you accepted the gospel, after you received the Holy Ghost, then you need to testify. You know, your body, your life should testify what is happening in you. You don't have to try. If it's there, it will make you. It will make you. So accept, receive, accept. Predestined and then testify. Because you are a written epistle, anyway.
Amen.
I told you this morning. See? Known and read of all men. So now you examine yourself. What is people are reading?
Yeah.
See? I just pray that they're reading in me, you know, the Word of God. Because that's what we want to be.
Yeah.
The word. In every action, in everything that we do, we must bring praise and honor to God. See? But that's what we are put here anyway. The next one is unity. As we go up in the ladder of this pyramid. Ephesians 4:3-13. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring, you know. He supplicate, you need to keep the unity.
Yeah.
Then in 13 he says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Until all, not just one or two, or that one or this one, no. Until all. See, until we come to that maturity. We are not going to be out of here until we come to that perfection.
Amen.
Amen. And the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, maturity, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to spend a little bit more time in here. This is what Brother Brown said. What was the Holy Ghost giving for? I got ahead of me. It is to give unction to the preacher. If I'm not anointed to preach, I might as well just get out of the pulpit.
Right.
Because I'm going to make a mess.
Right.
Because it's not me. You know, it's him. See, I need just to surrender my body and everything so he can use it. So it is giving an unction to the preacher. It's to give holiness to the group. I need to set the church in order. That's what the Holy Spirit will do, set the church in order. So if the church is in disorder, then there's a problem. You know, that brother that came during the meeting, he was preaching that the theory of relativity, that now scientists are believing, you know, that no order comes out of disorder. There had to be a higher intelligence. And you know, in the beginning, the world was in chaos. It was in disorder. And nobody threw a stick of dynamite, and then suddenly, whoa, order. You cannot bring order out of disorder. In fact, disorder will just continue degrading until it just breaks down. There's no way to reverse that. See? But we are so glad that God was the one that ordered everything. You know, the chaos, the darkness. See? And he's doing the same thing with our life. If we let him, he's trying to get us in order. We were broken. We need to bring together. We had to put ourselves in order mentally, physically, spiritually. See? And I'm glad that that's why we're here. So we can learn, so we can be taught how to be in order, so the Word of God can take preeminence in our life and bring us in order. I don't want to be out of order. Not in this pulpit. So I had to rely on God. I had to pray. I had to study. I had to make my... being approved, not by you, but approved by God and accepted by God. See? We got to be in order. And the gifts in church are set to keep the church clean.
Right.
Amen. Amen. In order. He says, and bring what? The unity of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is here to bring us together. So there's no problem. I don't know how hard it is. I mean, we don't even have to do it. The Holy Spirit will do it if we just surrender to the Spirit.
Amen.
And that is our purpose. This is our goal. We have to come together or we are not going to be out of here. It is to unite us together with power. So that means if one is missing, there's no the power will not be there. Because the power is not just one, two, three, four person, a click. The power is for all his bride, all the independent ones to come together. And when they come together in one mind, in one accord, there will be power.
Amen.
How can we have the power and the voice or the call the resurrection when we have different voices in our own message?
Right.
I don't know. God's going to have to do it because I don't know how to do that. They are saying, people are saying too many different things, different spirit, different dogma, different doctrines.
Right.
How are we going to get out of here when we are so separated?
Right.
Is the Spirit of God supposed to bring us together in one voice?
Right.
United.
Right.
It is the uniting time. So this had to happen.
Yeah.
With power is to unite us together with what? With our brotherly love, that is the second last when the capstone. You see, that's the last one right there. So unless you love your brother as you love yourself, we ain't going anywhere. So we have to be united in love, not only united. Oh, I belong to that church. Yeah, and those people. Yeah, they're my buddies and my friend. Well, it goes a little bit further than that. Because the bond is love. What bring you and me together and bond us together is love.
Right.
Actually, love is what brings the whole body together.
Amen.
In fact, that is the medium that the body moves. It's love. And until that is there, see, then we're not together. We brotherly love.
Yeah.
When we get to that, then the caps can come down. Amen. And I think we are closer. I'm not saying that we are so far. But I think we can do, still we have a little last minute. You know how before the wedding and the bride and everybody in the last minute, can you tie this button like it's falling, or, oh, can you just speed shine my shoes and go right quick, There are certain details still we have to work on, because if it wasn't for that, we'd be out of here. So let's God examine our hearts and tell him what we need to do. And it's not the big things that's going to keep us back. It's just the little things.
Right.
Let's keep it back. Unite us together with power, because we're going to need that power to call the resurrection. And if one voice is missing, it won't work. That is the whole thing. One voice that will be missing. Now, Brother Van says also, uniting times and the signs. Now, you see where we are living, said, I read you this before this morning, uniting times when we see these things being united. Oh, why? We fail to see those things. You can look and hear in the scriptures and see where he promised that. What he would do. Now, we see it coming to pass. We see it in the church, what he promised to do. We see it coming to pass. We see the nations uniting together right now. China, Russia, the U.S., I mean, all the nations are looking, you know, Korea, Japan, everybody trying to, you know, find a little click and unite. We see the church. We see in the church what he promised to do. We see the nations uniting together. We see the ism uniting together. We see the churches uniting together. And it's uniting time. It is the hour of uniting. That's why if the people are there that they know anything about God, they feel the pull of the times. What about you and me? That we're supposed to be in the move. They are feeling. That's why they're getting together, because there's something. God's word will not fail. That spirit uniting is a day, the wrong one, but it's a day. But why? Because that is a time that we are, and we see it. We are not blind to it. He said, we see the churches uniting. He said, that the spirit of this age. Amen. We have got to unite. We got to. It's no doubt about it. We have to unite if we want to get out of here. But you cannot do it. And you cannot make anybody. So, going to have to be a higher power. He says, everything you talk about has to be organized. See, today the government's been organized. But they won't receive it. See? That's just like in the Tower of Babel, you know. It was man intellectualism in trying to bring things together. It cannot happen, but they try. And they deceive a lot of people, you know, into come and be part of this and part of that. In the end time, it says it will be a deceiving age. You know, he's Christ, that is Christ. They're going to try to unite on their man's head, not on the Christ head. And that is what's happening today. It's uniting times. I believe in one of these glorious days, Acts of the Holy Spirit, it says, when this uniting confederation of churches goes together, well, and it's getting together. Here we are. And the new Pope is brought up the United States and put over there according to prophecy. That's it. And they will form an image like into the beast. Our brother already spoke about that. And I tell you the truth, the church of God will be drawn together. You see, because he's going to do it. How he's going to drive you together, I don't know. The African churches, the one in Mexico, the one in Alaska, I don't know how we all going to be driven together, but it's not going to happen that way. We are not all have to be together, you know. But we have to be together in one place. And that's in him. You can be in Africa, but if you are one with God, and I'm in America and I'm one with God, in God, we are together.
Right.
So you don't have to be in one place. That's a sign for everybody to come in to be together. But that is how goal, that we come one with God. The whole journey is to have his character, have his nature, and be one with God.
Right.
See, first we need to unite with God before you can unite with your brother.
Right.
Amen.
See? He says, the real true believer out of the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, the Nazarene, the Pilgrim Holiness, whatever they will be, will go together. And they will be what? Cemented. See, Brother Jaja used to sing a song about, you know, not even glue can put us together. I don't know, super glue. One of these songs, you know, we're so broken that not even super glue can. But he can. He can put us together. And not only to put us together, but to cement us together. So far, together that we cannot even separate from one another. It is possible. I mean, this is not a dream. I mean, this is reality. Cemented by the love of God that will make the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the believers, anagnosti, shallow-minded, will be cast to one side and they will go right on to the confederation of churches. But this is the time where God is bringing his bride together. You know? And we have so much fuss and so much fight and so much differences, so much disagreement. You know? But one thing is for sure, it has been spoken. And I want to be part of that. I want to surrender to God because whatever it takes, Lord, cement me. Stick me together. You know? Oh no, Lord, don't put that brother next to me. I like that other one. Okay, good luck with that. In fact, you start thinking that way, you get the worst one that you dislike. It will be cemented next to you so he can, okay, we're going to polish these two guys until, wow, they fit together. So better not to choose. Let God do the choosing. And the next thing will be the resurrection after the unity comes together. See? And that is what we were talking. We're talking about this new prophecy, about this Pope, you know, and all these things. But the second part of that prophecy that we're supposed to fulfill is that he will be got together. He will draw us together. Right. So, yeah, we got excited about the first part, but what about the second part? Amen. That is your part. That is my part. That is the one that we need to work on. That is the part that you let to God work on. You know, what he's doing with the world, that will happen. That's their part to fulfill. But what about your part to fulfill? So, we have to be united. Six, the resurrection, when that happens. Now, like I said, we don't have to be together in one place, you know. But the only place that we should be together is in Christ. I don't care where you are in the world. One of these days, we are going to have the same mind, the same spirit, the same desire, the same everything in Christ Jesus. And when that happens, everybody's going to hear that trumpet at once. It's not going to be, hey, did you hear what I heard? No. You're going to have to hear yourself. But you have to be part of the body. Amen. Romans 8:11, resurrection. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised him up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwells in you. That is the spirit that's going to bring us together. That is the spirit that is going to cement us. That is the spirit that if we let the spirit of God do his work in us, is enough power there to bring us together. All we have to do is forget about I think, because every time that I think, I get in trouble. See? We need to stop thinking, you know. Stop thinking and let God have his way in our lives. He is more than able to bring it to pass. Amen. But it has to be his work. The seventh one is elevate. That is translate. You know, you've been elevated from to a different position. Or from low to high, or from the past to the future, where you have been rise up, elevate, translated. Now Hebrew 11 said, by faith Enoch, and I told this morning, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that this is not something passive, diligently. Seeking means that is active. This is not a just one time thing. We have to seek God every day. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday. Diligently, every day, you know, seeking. You know, my if somebody is that way, it's my children when I used to, or my grandchildren sometime. You know, you tell them something, you're going to give them something, they will not let you forget. But you promised me. You told me you was going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to, but you know, I told you when, not now. And then the next day they were called. Remember that you promised me? I said, yes, but not now. I mean, my grandchildren are that way too. My children used to be that way. That's what when I wanted to do something for them, I won't tell them until it's time to go because they will leave me alone. See, that's being diligent, you know. But you promised me. You promised me. You promised me. So do it. Do it. Not just, oh, yeah, I prayed about 40 years ago. I received the Holy Ghost, and I asked, well, thank you. Well, good luck with that one. You know, we should love him better every day. So if you wanted the Holy Spirit, you wanted the Word then, 40 years ago, you know, today you should want it even more than you wanted it then, because now we have grown. Amen. So the closer we get, the closer we walk, and the closer we come in to that perfection, the more we want. I mean, that's what we're here for. Because we want more of Him. That's all. If I can do this at home by myself, then I will not come. But you know what? I don't have all the spirits of the, gift of the Spirit. You know, I don't have maybe the gift of laying hands on the sick and then recover, because if that was the case, I just stay home and I'm just going like this, you know, when I'm sick. So God put a body so we can depend on each other and we can grow together to that manifestation. Colossians 1:12-15. Giving thanks unto the Father, we have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us. So now we are elevated. See, to that point, we have been accepted. We have received it. Now we are predestinated, you know, before the foundation of the world. Now we are going up, up. And then when we get all united together in one, the next thing is to be caught up, to be taken, to be pulled. See? So he said, he had delivered us from the power of the darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of the creatures. Now, let me go back to my picture again, if you can put it again. Okay, that's all the words. Elevate. Now, go to the headstone. Because when we get there, when we get unity, then we have the voice of the resurrection. Not before. And then, when we get to that point, that where we are, then something is going to come and snatch us up.
Right.
Translate us. See? That's what Enoch happened. Enoch walked so far.
Right.
Until one day he was not.
Right.
He got to that point, you know, that he had all those things. And he understood and he had the knowledge and the wisdom and the revelation. He got to that point until, you know, hey, it's time to go. Now, let's go. Let me read you again the next. My brother Brown says in the next, the Easter seal. It says, there's a great magnet sitting in the skies. See? It's waiting. That God one day will touch with his fingers too. You know how that magnet, you know, Brother Brown talks about that magnet that in the manufacturing, right? But it's energized by electricity, is what get the magnetism. But somebody had to throw the switch, see? But one day, his fingers, when he see that we are ready, he's ready. We are the one holding the rapture because he's ready. He said, no man knows the time that he's coming, not even angels of heaven doesn't know. God alone knows. But there has been some training that come off of the Bible Christian believers for this hour. Trimming. You know what the trimming is? You know, in that factory, they were with metal. And they file metal and they cut metal and there's always shavings, trimmings. That fall, and that's what they used to use, my brother said, the big magnet. And when that man is energized and sweep, everything that is magnetized to that will go. The rest of it stays. And he said, coming. And he said, no man knows the time is coming. Even the angels of heaven, those know, but God alone knows. But there has been some trimming, some shaving that come off of the Bible. Bible Christians, see? We are a piece of the masterpiece. See? Believers for this hour. One of them might have been an axe or back in another day, you know? This might be some another part, talking about cars and metals, you know, axles and things that are made out of metal. The same thing with us, you know, we are part of the masterpiece, a piece here, a piece there, a piece from Puerto Rico, a piece from Spain, a piece out there, and we were pieces all over the place. See? But somehow God brought us together. See? This might be some other part. It is going on to make the big regime of God. See? The body of God. But it will be molded into the part of God's great cupola. You know, it's a dome. That's what it means, you know. So God is going to bring us all together, cemented all together in this big, you know, and pour out again into the image of God. So he's putting on in the mold. See, he's melting. He's putting the mold. And he's going to bring out of that mold, you know, that image of God. That our mold is Jesus Christ. See? And just those who are magnetized to it will be taken up. They will be carried away. They will be cut up in that day when that big magnet will come and sweep. You know, when we hear that trumpet. See? And just those who are magnetized, it will be taken up. I don't care if you're in Africa, I don't care if you're in Puerto Rico, I don't care if you're Spain, I don't care if you're in Mexico, I don't care where you are. When that magnet will sweep, it will bring everything up. Amen. See? His children. So you don't have to worry how God is going to gather all together. God knows how he's going to do it. Amen. Because we're all going to hear the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And God knows how hard when we come to that point. See? He will know. And you will know too. He says, magnetize. Oh, how? What a privilege it is to know that there is something in the resurrection that's pertaining to us. So see, there is a part that we need to play. There is a part that we need to act. We have a part of this drama. You have a Bible that is our script. We have a part to be played. See? So do not be surprised, because the day is close. And it's near now. I think it was more closer than 2,000 years ago. We are almost here. And what I'm looking is not so much at the Pope and the prophecy that the world is going to fulfill. I want to see my prophecy being fulfilled in my life. That is what gives me the key. See, looking at that there is going to tell me what they are. But I don't know. I want to know where I am. And the only way I know where I am, we are at the point that we have to unite. We got to come together in Jesus Christ. So, you know, when you down the street and you see another believer from another church, what do? You cross the street so you don't want to see him because he don't like you. I don't care if you like me or not. Uniting means that you love your brother. I don't care who it is. If he don't love you back, that's fine. But that's not the point. The point is that you love him. Enough to say hi. You know, you don't want to try to ignore where that goes. That goes to Phoenix, to this assembly, or that, you know what they believe. So what? Who died and put you as a judge? Who is going to make it and who is not going to make it? The thing here is that when that time comes and it is here, you're going to have to feel the love that will unite you with the bride of Jesus Christ. And it's not only here. It's easy to love those ones that loved you. But what about when you go out there? See, I'm looking for the fulfillment of that in my life. I'm not looking at a Pope being, that's fine. I'm looking about my part, that is, I need to, you know, be ready, come up, be mature, and take every opportunity that is presented to me. Church is open. As long as it's not come, it's still open. That's an opportunity. That is an opportunity to grow closer. Because that's why we come to church. To to shape us, to mold us with the Word of God. You know, if I can do it at home by myself, I will do it, but we can't. That's not God's program. Amen? Yeah, I stay home and I listen to tape and I don't believe in churches. Well, there we go again. Think and you get in trouble. Just surrender yourself. Surrender your thinking. Surrender everything and let it have preeminence in our life. And let us do exactly what the Spirit of the Lord is bidding us to do today. The last thing to be fulfilled, and I close, the last thing to be fulfilled is that we are going to be cemented together. Amen. In one, before we leave here. Let the Pope do what they're going to do. Let the beast, the Marco, let all that do. But what I'm looking, to be united in Christ Jesus. I don't care where you belong. I don't care where you are. God knows my heart. So when I get there, I don't have to go to Africa to show you that I love Africans, so I gotta go to Mexico. No, God knows if you do or you don't. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. And I wanna get there. Amen. Amen. That is my goal. To act up my part today, it is to let myself go, let God, and let me bring me to that point where I will love everybody. It doesn't matter if it's my enemy. See? Amen. Can we stand? I don't even know. That took half hours. I told you 1,000 words in one picture and we're done. Amen. So, united. Rapturing time. The last sign will be uniting together. That will be our sign to fulfill before we leave here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you, Father, and we ask you, Father, that this message, small message that it was that you put in my heart, Father, that you take to the people, Father. Let the Spirit, Father, deal with. And you know what you already predestined before the foundation, what you wanted to do and how you wanted to do things. Maybe I don't understand everything, but the Holy Spirit knows what it needs to do with these words, Father. And I'm trusting, Father, that I have surrendered myself, Father, that you put these words in my heart to give it to your children. Now, Father, you know what to do with those words. The Spirit will take them into every heart. You know what is needed. And you know, even before, we don't even know what we need, but you do know tonight, Father. And let's take these words to our hearts. And Father, let's meditate, Father, in them and ask Him, what do you want from me, Lord? Whatever it is, Father, that is what we want to do, Father. What did you mean with those words? What is my part? What do I need to do, Father? I'm willing to do it, Father. I just need to give me the wisdom and knowledge of you, Father, as we're moving forward. I want to know more, Father, but I want to be like you, more like you. Father, shape me and mold me, and Father, to your image. That's what we want, Father. It doesn't matter if it hurts. It doesn't matter, Father, because my goal in life is to be like you. Father, we love you and we thank you. Be with our pastor, Father, in his return back safely. Father, thank you for this other opportunity that we had today to meet together, Father, and have fellowship around the world. We thank you, Lord, for all the things you have done. And you continue doing, and you will do. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness in our life, your care, Father, everything you do for us. Father, as we dismiss, Father, not from you, from one another, keep us safe, Father, and bring us back, if it's another day, another Wednesday, to hear, Father, the words of life that we need so much, Father. We are coming to the end, Father, and if it was a time that we need you, this is the time that we need you more than ever. This is the closing time of the history of this world, Father. We are almost near, Father, and I want to be what you want me to be, Father. Father, we thank you again for all the opportunity that you give us, for all the things you do for us. Father, we thank you. You are such a loving Father, and you treat us, Father, like your children. Father, mold us, Father, shape us, transform us to your image. In Jesus' name we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. Redemption, forgiveness of sin, Christ.